Thanks, Belinda. So a little bit of trivia. Who introduced the first Christmas pageant, the first nativity? Anybody? Mary and Joseph, of course. You're right. I wasn't thinking about that one. Who introduced the first Christmas pageant to commemorate Mary and Joseph? It was actually St. Francis of Assisi. The first kind of nativity play was in the year 1223. St. Francis of Assisi, we've been doing this since the year 1223. St. Francis of Assisi was really kind of forlorn that the birth of Jesus was remembered at a mass where the priests wore gold and jewelry and silk and nice hats, and everything kind of just seemed high and far removed from everything else. So the next Christmas Eve at midnight mass, St. Francis of Assisi in the year 1223, he shocked everybody because he brought in people from the streets to play the various parts, and they weren't dressed in fancy clothes, they were dressed in rags. And he shocked everybody because he brought in a donkey or two and some sheep, and he shocked everybody because he brought in a live baby who screamed his head off. And St. Francis of Assisi said, this story needs to reach into where we live, needs to reach the nitty-gritty, the fears, where we live. I received a Christmas card this week. Just reminded me how far behind I am on those sorts of things. But I received a Christmas card this week, and it was absolutely incredibly beautiful. It was just the most majestic, picture-perfect manger scene you could possibly imagine. There was Mary, dressed in beautiful blue linen, with every hair in place, with the most perfect posture I've ever seen in my life, who apparently just gave birth. Because there is Joseph, of course, looking like every father looks right after the birth of their child, completely in control. That's how I looked. And there was this child who was lying in hay that looked more comfortable than a Tempur-Pedic. And was lying there, you know, with these gorgeous big blue eyes and smiling. Honest to God, even the donkey and the sheep were smiling in this picture. It was perfect. It was picture perfect. But my soul doesn't long for picture perfect. Advent is a season of waiting in the darkness. And in our world right now, it seems particularly dark in a lot of places. It might seem particularly dark for you. My soul doesn't long for perfect. My soul doesn't long for all neat and tidy and wrapped in a bow. My soul longs for messy. My soul longs to remember that first Christmas that was messy, that was scared, that was improbable. My soul this year really longs for the courage of Mary. Mary. You know, scholars, historians suggest that Mary was likely about 13 years old. Mary, a peasant, an ordinary person, uneducated. In her culture, in her day, Mary was a nobody. She had no status whatsoever. And God chose her. God chose her to be the bearer of God's incarnation of love. God chose Mary to be the bearer of hope. I mean, how improbable, how impossible is that? And then we have the scripture that Belinda read, which I need to hear this year. Nothing is impossible with God. So Mary, with fear and trembling, what my soul longs for, what my soul needs, is the same kind of courage that Mary somehow mustered that allowed her to say to God, "Here am I. Let it be to me according to your word." That allowed Mary somehow to say, when the world shouted no at Mary, she had no status, no power, no recognition. She was a nobody. And she said yes. And when she said yes, she participated with God in bringing forth hope and possibility and love into the world. I need that courage. So I invite you to go use your imagination, and my Barry White voice is getting better, deeper. I invite you to use your imagination with me today, because I need to remember Mary. I'd like you to go back with me as we remember Mary. 14. 13, 14. I want you to imagine her by the well, the village well. She's standing there. Imagine her in the clothes that she would have worn at that time, probably a long embroidered dress, a veil on her head. Imagine Mary, 13 years old. Imagine her standing by that well, still shaking. Still shaking as she remembers the strange appearance of the angel. The angel who said, "Don't be afraid," and who shared the most improbable news, the most impossible news, "You're going to bear a child." And imagine Mary standing by that well, not understanding. And imagine Mary, "How can this be? Why did God choose me? I'm a nobody." Think for a second, who are the nobodies in our world? Who are the nobodies in our society? Who are the people that we regard as having no value, no status, no importance? Might they too be that valuable to God? So imagine Mary remembering her words. What she said, even though she didn't understand, she didn't know what the next step would be, she didn't know what was around the corner, but she remembered her words in terms of how she responded to the angel. "Here am I, your servant. Let it be to me according to your word." Wow, I don't know about you. Before I say yes, you got to give me the map. You know, before I say yes, I have to have it all figured out. Before I say yes, I have to have all the questions answered. Mary just trusted God. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is trust. Courage is stepping. Courage is acting. Courage is that leap of faith. In spite of how you feel, in spite of your fears. You know, fear is what we feel. Bravery is what we do. Now go ahead. I'm going to jump ahead 9 months, because I imagine she was at that well every day, and every day when she went to that well, every day she was subject to gossip. Every day she was subject to fingers pointing. There she is. Every day she was subject to people telling her she was a scandal, she was a disgrace, she was a shame. But she kept saying yes. So 9 months, Joseph, And I'm not going to talk much about Joseph because that's next week. But Joseph comes and says, Mary, the emperor is doing an imperial census. We need to go to Bethlehem, my hometown, because he's collecting taxes from everyone in order to raise up the army. So the emperor is raising money to build the military that occupies the land of the Jewish people. Mary and Joseph, they lived in desperate times, scary times, hopeless times. 75 miles to Bethlehem. Joseph suggests, we'll take the donkey that carries the heavy beams of the carpenter. Now, I don't even know how Joseph survives to the end of this story. Because if I would have went to my wife at 9 months pregnant and said, honey, we're going on a trip. And here's your ride. I'm a dead man. 75 miles. Cold. Wind blowing in their face. Long. Just when they think they can't go any further, they see Bethlehem off in the distance. Some breath of relief, because they've been saving their money for this. With her about to give birth, they've been saving their money for the room at the inn. With hope and expectation, Joseph knocks on the door. The innkeeper opens the door. No room. In fact, all of the inns are full because of the census, and shuts the door. And they're left standing there in the darkness. There currently are 25 million refugees. 25 million. Many, many women and children left standing in the darkness. No room. Is there even room in our hearts for them? Joseph and Mary stumble behind the inn. And they find on a hillside this cave that's kind of built in, you know, dug into the side of the hill. And there's a shelter in front. And there's straw in the back. And it's a dirt floor. And dung covers the floor. And the smoke rises in the cold air. And there's a donkey and an oxen off in the shadows. And there's a manger, what we call a manger, which is actually a feeding trough that glistens from the saliva of the oxen that had just eaten there. What an improbable place for Christ to be born. What an unlikely place for love, for God's love to enter the world. But you know, what that means is maybe our lives aren't any less probable for something we might regard as impossible. Where in your life right now, where in our world right now do you just assume love can't enter? Something new can't happen. And we hear the words of the angel. Nothing with God is impossible. I imagine there's a runaway kid sleeping in the back of this cave, and he's running away to try to escape from the beatings of his stepfather. The manger turns nobody away. We're living at a particular time where there's so many messages of exclusion, so many messages of certain people not belonging, certain people not being included, certain people who should be shut out, excluded. Who needs to hear that they belong? Who needs to hear that they are valued? Who needs to hear that the manger welcomes them? And Mary, this impoverished, scared, tired, exhausted girl, endures what may be the most painful, mysterious, beautiful, holy experience any woman will ever know. And into that dark place, into that smelly place, into that depressing place, into that hopeless place, Christ is born. Love is born. It's smelly. It's dark. It's depressing. But maybe the indignity of it is what makes it so beautiful and compelling, because then the indignity of our lives, the pain of our lives, the brokenness of our lives, the smell of our lives, the hopelessness of our lives can be transformed into something beautiful and holy as well. Mary and Joseph, their entire body, every ounce, every inch of them hurts from this journey, from this experience. They're tired, they have nothing to eat, they're scared, they're alone. The child's cry pierces the night air. And all they have is that promise. The promise that somehow gave Mary the courage to say, "Yes, here am I." And it's the promise that God was right there. Right there in the mess. The promise that nothing is impossible with God. Mary. I need to remember Mary. She not only said yes once, my imagination is she had to say yes every day. She had to say yes every hour. She said yes to God. And in the most unlikely place, in the most unlikely way, through the most unlikely people, love was born. The angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." So I have to believe that love is waiting to be born again and again and again. And maybe God is waiting for you and me to say yes. Here am I. May it be so. We continue to worship God as the offering is received.